Bible with me, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And we're going to look at, start in verse number 1, go down to verse number 12 with our reading here. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 to 12 is what we're going to look at. But I'd like to start out with verses 1 through 6. 1 through 6, that's all we'll read at this time. 1 Chronicles 16. Verse number 1, here's what the Bible says. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levite to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jael and Shemaroth Moth, and Jael and Mattathiah, and Eliab and Benaniah and Obed-Edom and Jael. Must have been a lot of guys named Jael there, with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaniah also, and Jehaziel, the priest, with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Aren't you glad we didn't read responsibly today? Notice verse number 8. Part of the song that these guys were singing included this. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. An Ohio reporter asked students of an elementary school, why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? And you can imagine what kind of answers may come out of that. But the few that I found, I thought were very, very good, very helpful. Here's some of them. Jamie, who's 7 years old, said people celebrate Thanksgiving because it's the season where everyone joins together. Christina, also 7, said, it's a good month. We might as well finish it out well, she said. Kabotzai, 6 years old, she said, people celebrate Thanksgiving because it's a happy day, especially because my granny cooks and it's good, she said. Selena, who's 6 years old, said she knows why people all get together to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. It's a wonderful year and a good time to share all that food, and I love pumpkin pie, she said. You know, food is often on a kid's minds when we come to a time like this, but it's not so far away from our mind either, is it? But God says, listen, I've got other things that can make Thanksgiving Day a great day, a great day. Things can be done besides just slaving in the kitchen or preparing things, but things can be done to make it a true Thanksgiving Day. I'd like to share this with you. As we look at verse number 8, the title today is Make Known the Deeds of the Lord. Make known the deeds of the Lord. What's the setting of this chapter? Here it is. David, the king, had just successfully brought the Ark of God to Jerusalem. Hard to imagine because most of the Old Testament, when we see the Israelites in Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, etc., was right there. It was always there, except at the beginning. For years, it was not there. It was in a different location. Even during the time of Saul, it did not make its way into Jerusalem. Only but a few times was it even brought out to be used of God. But David finally was able to bring it to the city of the Lord, the city of God. And there was great celebration. He spared no expense as the king. He desired to bring a sense of importance to having a symbol of God's presence in the holy city. That's what the Ark of God is. It's his presence, his word, and those things that were contained in him. Today I'd like to share with you, even though as we look at the papers and we listen to news and things like that, and maybe even locally, things don't always look that good, we still need to make known the deeds of the Lord. Make known the deeds of the Lord. I'd like to share with you about that. Before we go any further, let's pray. We'll ask God to help us. Would you bow with me and I'll ask him. Lord, we thank you again that we can come to you. Now I pray, Father, as we open the scriptures, would you speak to us, Lord? I pray the Holy Spirit would fill me and would open our hearts, Lord, to what you have to say. Father, if there's things that need to be changed, I pray for the soul that needs Christ, Lord, today. What a great week of Thanksgiving it would be to have new life amongst us. I pray if that's the need, I pray today would be the day. Lord, for the believers, as we have challenges we need to bring before you, I pray, Father, you would open our eyes and help us to see. Burdens can be lifted at Calvary. Things can be changed for your better, for Christ. And Lord, if there's anything that you want us to do, that we would do it, Lord, before this day is over. Whatever it is, Lord, would you help us to see what you see? And I ask us in Jesus' name, amen. Make known the deeds of the Lord. The Bible tells us in verse number 1, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. Number 1, I'd like to share with you this morning, God responds to our sacrifice and offerings. Our sacrifice and offerings. God sets the example of sacrifice and offerings. How many know John 3:16? Would you say that with me, please, as we share it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that verse well. We go through it sometimes. Sometimes we forget what's packed in John 3:16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. And he didn't just give stuff. What did he give? His only begotten Son, the Bible says. He offers Jesus, and he still does. Jesus is the best of heaven. It was bankrupted when he came to offer redemption for our souls. The Bible tells us when Jesus was on this earth, he lived the sinless life. Not once did he do what you and I do, have a thought, word, or deed that would displease the Heavenly Father. Oh, Jesus was perfect in every way. He still had the robe of flesh on. If you cut him, he would bleed. Now, he didn't have Band-Aids like we do today. So they would show up. Those marks would be there. He was hungry. He was tired. But yet he lived for the will of the Father. Then the Bible says that he laid his life down at Calvary. I'd like to look at this in Luke chapter 22. Would you turn there with me, please? What was the precious sacrifice Jesus did? Well, it's spelled out right there in one big verse. Luke chapter 22. Looking at verse number 23. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Jesus, the King of glory, the creator of everything in the universe and beyond, was treated like the worst criminals were treated. Not only did he have his own death, which execution was bad enough. The Bible says he was set among the thieves, the malefactors, the criminals. Why did they put Jesus among the criminals, by the way? Here's my theory. Because they wanted everybody to see him as a criminal. You go, you run with the wrong group, here's where you're going to end up, just like him. And yet Jesus was completely holy. When he went to the cross, he was completely sinless. He had no crime to pay for. And that's when he paid for ours. He went to Calvary and set the example of sacrifice. Our best response to God is sacrifice and offering. Our best response. Turn with me, if you would, a couple places here. Proverbs chapter 14. Would you go there first in the Old Testament? Proverbs 14. So what should we sacrifice and offer? Number one, sacrifice the philosophy of Satan, the flesh, and the world. Sacrifice the philosophy of Satan, the flesh, and the world. What is Satan's philosophy? What's the world's philosophy? We talked about this in Sunday school, actually. His philosophy is, and our flesh even, me first. Me first. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. Me first does not get me ahead. Maybe in the world's eyes, but for the Lord, that's not the way to get ahead, he says. Sacrifice those philosophies. I'm not a Boy Scout. Maybe you have been. We're a part of that. By the way, did you know that today Boy Scouts allow girls to be in the Boy Scouts too? They're graduating each year since 2016, each age group, I guess. I'm not familiar with the way they delineate the groups, but as they grow up, they're going to be included in their bylaws. But here's something about the Boy Scouts. They have a law. They have a law. If you've been one, you know this. There's 12 of them that I found anyway. A scout is, number one, trustworthy, loyal. Number three, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty. Number nine. 10, he's brave. He's clean. Verse number 11. I wish I would have learned, I guess I should have gone to Boy Scout. Reverent. And yet in 2010, the Boy Scouts of America changed their policy allowing a scout to consider himself homosexual or transgender until he turns 18. After that, after 18, he's prevented from remaining in the Scouts because the organization says it wants to retain its policy against open homosexuality scout leaders. The fundamentals of scouting are based on moral virtues, or were, I should say, but they ignore an important person in their fundamentals, Jesus, God. And folks, lest you think you're bashing the thing I learned, praise the Lord for some of those great lessons in your past. But the truth of the matter is, if it's not based on what God says, it will not go where God says. If it's not based on what the Lord's plan is, then it's going to not end up where the Lord's plan is. And that includes us. He says our best response to God is sacrifice. Sacrifice the philosophies of Satan, flesh, and the world. Number two, offer your life to Christ for his glory. Luke chapter 9. Would you look there with me, please? Luke chapter 9. Offer your life to Christ for his glory. Luke chapter 9, Jesus spelled it out real clearly there. Again, we looked at this in Sunday school. Hey, would you come to Sunday school? It's a great hour. It's wonderful. We have folks who've studied God's word. They're sharing them with all age groups from the little ones to the other ones. And there's something for all of us. During that hour, I trust you'll plan to join us next week for that. And by the way, next week we have the guest speaker, Dr. Phil Stringer. You will really enjoy him. I trust you'll plan to be here as much as you can. That seminar, it's different. We've never done something like that before. So let's make it a big deal. Let's make it a big deal. Plan to join us for that 4:45 session next Sunday afternoon. Offer your life to Christ. Luke chapter 9. Here's what it says in verse number 23. And 24. As a matter of fact, would you read those verses with me? Let's read those out loud, please. 23 and 24, Luke chapter 9. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. For whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. How do we keep our lives on track? We stop thinking of them as our lives. Remember, the flesh says, me first. What did Jesus say for those that follow him there in Luke chapter 9? He said, let a man deny himself. Deny himself first. Now, that does not mean that we have to go without anything. What it does mean is that we're not saying, it's my life and not yours, God. Leave me alone. No, it's the exact opposite. Lord, it is your life. And I've messed it up enough already. Would you somehow put the pieces back together and make something that would bring glory to you? Can I tell you something? Jesus is ready to answer that prayer. He's ready to answer that. Wherever we're at in life, Brother Bill here is visiting with us. He works with Forgotten Man Ministries. Forgotten Man goes into the jails, the men and ladies, and I think young people as well, or just the adult ones, adults. These are people who have, they've ruined everything they had. They've ruined their possessions, their families, their own lives, their own health. And God's using people like Bill. Some of you have been there, places like that. And when they get to the very bottom, even in jail, they don't go to the bottom quite yet, do they, Bill? They need something to show them that God can work in their life. I hope that doesn't have to happen to get me going there. How about you? Don't wait till a time like that. Listen, give it over to God now. Offer your life to Christ now. He's in the new life business. Respond. God responds to our sacrifice and offerings. Number two. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. We're in chapter 16. Verse 3. And he, that is David, dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one of a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. God responds, number two, to our acts of thanksgiving. Our acts of thanks, the things we can do to offer the thanksgiving. Here's what the Bible tells us. Number one, thanksgiving must include giving. Thanksgiving must include giving. These government handouts were motivated by a love and focus on God. This didn't happen every day. David said, listen, everybody that comes, everybody in the whole kingdom, I want them to have some reminder of today, even though it's not going to last, but a reminder. Bread, meat, and it says flagon of wine. Most believe that includes a raisin cake, but whether that's the way it was or not. But the Bible tells us that they received these things, and every adult in the kingdom got them. Every man, every woman, you know what they did with that? They shared them with everyone in the house. Does that sound like something that we're going to enjoy on Tuesday and Thursday? Yeah, Thanksgiving. It must include giving. Let me share a few thoughts about giving. The Bible says that Bible giving is nonpartisan, the real nonpartisan. You know, you don't have to be Democrat or Republican or independent or anything else, green, yellow, white, whatever. God says he will bless and give to you. Matter of fact, Jesus said that He sends the rain and the sunshine on the just and the unjust. Yeah. He said, I don't even have to know Jesus to have some blessing from him. But God says, you follow my example. Be giving. Don't be exclusive. Be nonpartisan. Bible giving number two is purposeful. Purposeful. We don't give unless we decide. Have you found that out? Looking in the church situation, when I was in college, we had a professor. He had been a pastor, and at that time he was now sharing Bible classes. And he said, you know, the Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver. He said, if you're waiting for the cheerfulness, you'll never give. Because the cheerfulness follows the giving, he said. The cheerfulness. And you know what I found out after I started getting regular with that? He was right. He's right. The cheerfulness follows the giving. Whether it's to in our tithes and offerings or just to people, there's a sense of glory to God when we give with purpose and in his name. Number three, Bible giving is normal. Bible giving is normal. He says this is something that should be regular in our life. On a regular basis, we see that these things are temporary. The things that God brings our way, if we can help others, Bible giving is normal. Number four, Bible giving follows Christ's pattern. We already looked at it in John chapter 3. The Bible tells us he gave all he had. That's his pattern. That's his pattern. Jesus held nothing back. As a matter of fact, the Bible says even his very cloak, the clothes that he had was given away. Though it was in a different way he would have planned it out, I presume. Bible giving, follows Christ's pattern. Thanksgiving must include giving. Number two, thanksgiving must include thanks. Thanks. Let's look at these verses again, verse 4 through 7, and maybe I'll skip through some names. We'll see. Bible says, and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, the chief musician, that is, in verse 5. Zechariah and Jael and Shemir Amath and Jehiel and Mattathiah and Eliab and Benaniah and Obed-Edom and Jael with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also and Jehaziel, the priests with trumpets, continually before the ark of the Lord, ark of the covenant of God. Thanksgiving must include thanks. Start with thanks to God. Start with thanks to God. Lord, thank you for giving me breath today. Thank you for getting me out of the bed today. Thank you that I can see. Wow, I mean, I can't see as well as I'd like to, but I can see. I can see. Or anything that the Lord, you still enjoy and have, God says, would you give me thanks for it? Number two, recruit others in thankfulness. Here's what they did in verse 5 and 6. They sang, they gave, they followed the commands, they yielded, they obeyed the king's commandment. The Bible says you and I need to recruit others in thankfulness. You know, it's funny. We have little kids in our house once again. And did you know that if you give them something, they will not say thank you? Those little brats. Why is that? Mom and Dad, why is that? Because you have to teach them. You have to train them so that it becomes an automatic response. Thank you. Thank you. It has to be taught. It has to be recruited. Let others know. Listen, let's gather together. Come on, join me. Join me. Let's thank God for this. Let's get some others involved and do that. That's what Tuesday's all about, by the way. Tuesday night, you're going to be there. We're going to have a wonderful time. Join us and bring somebody with you. Tell them, hey, listen, Pastor said you have to come. Okay. You don't have to take the heat. I'll take it for you. Recruit others. Number three, record thanksgivings for future inspiration. Record thanksgivings for future inspiration. Look at verse number 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord under the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Praise God for the scriptures. And when David wrote those psalms, when others of the writers of scripture God used, he inspired them. The Bible calls it that all those scriptures were inspired by him as if they came from the mouth of God. And through the ministry of preservation of the Bible, we have it in our hands today. Isn't that amazing? Thousands of years ago, and we've got it right here. Thousands of years ago, these words were penned by the hand of God. But listen, you and I need to record some thanksgivings for future inspirations too. Remember that? Remember that year? Remember when this happened? Remember when everything exploded? But we all had a laugh about it. You know, those things can help us in the future. In 1621, only 4 pilgrim families had survived the winter. That was about half of the original group of 106. The settlement in Plymouth, Massachusetts was in danger of annihilation. But God sent somebody to help them. And his name was Squanto. He was a native Indian of that area. The rest of his tribe had died out by plague. He himself had been caught and sent to slavery in Europe. That was the only thing that saved him, they say, from the plague. So he was the only one of his tribe left alive. But he learned English from one of his masters in Europe and returned to the Americas, the same area, as a free man, just a year before meeting the pilgrims. Squanto received Christ after the pilgrims shared the gospel with him. It's all recorded by one of them very clearly. The first Thanksgiving would have been roughly at late October, perhaps early November 1621. On that day, which they had 3 days, I should say, of celebration, 90 Indians and 53 pilgrims attended all 3 days. And it was all not to thank one another, not to thank the Indians for showing them how to plant the corn and harvest, not for the pilgrims to be thanked for how they shared the gospel. All of it was, by all accounts, to thank God for his goodness toward them all. Now, those aren't the things you're going to see in the history books today, but it's the truth. You see, friends, at the very beginning of America, there was a sense that God is blessing this place. And he will bless the people who honor him. God responds. He responds to acts of thanksgiving. Let's go back, 1 Chronicles. God responds, number 3, God responds to our policy of praise to him. God responds to our policy of praise to him. Look at verse number 8 with me, please. We'll read on here. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Verse 13. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, verse 16, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac. The Bible says there again in verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Our policy of praise, our praise policy should include exhortation. Exhortation. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the bylaws of where we're going to praise the Lord. He said, first of all, in verse number 8, we're going to call on God. We're going to call on God. The Bible says, give thanks and call upon his name in verse 8. How much time have you spent calling on God recently? Would you take time to do that? Can I share with you? Now, this is personal. This may not be how you feel. But I've never regretted the times I've called on God. But I have regretted time that I didn't. That's the way it works if you're a Christian. Your time with God is always sweet. But without it, there's something missing. Number 2, we're going to advertise what God is doing. Look at verse 9. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. We're going to advertise what God is doing. Hey, here's what he's up to. Man, he's changing lives. He's reaching people. Was it last week or a couple weeks ago we had a young person receive Christ as Savior on Wednesday night? Hey, praise God, that is a glory to God. Amen? Amen. Wasn't it for you when you got saved? Absolutely. And then he's continuing to work in people and lives. We're going to advertise what God is doing. Another part of the policy, we're going to sing about the Savior. We're going to sing about the Savior. So much music out there. You can't walk through the grocery store without some song going in your mind. Well, God says, listen, put some of the God songs on your lips. Put some of God's songs on your heart. I find that the last thing I listen to is usually what's on my heart. All Sunday night, my family can tell you, I'm humming away some of these choir songs. I don't know the words yet, but I'm humming them. They're great, and they're a blessing. We're going to sing about the Savior. Number 4 on our policy, we're going to seek what Christ wants us to do. Look at verse 11 again. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. What is it that God would have you do, and then do it? Seek what Christ wants us to do. Number 5 on the policy, we're going to rehearse the wonders of God. Rehearse the wonders of God. Look at this one in verse number 12. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. How many have a wonder? If they were asked right now, oh, I could look back at a point in my life or somebody that I knew, I have a wonder I could share about God. Who would do that? You don't have to do it right now, but you've got one. You've got one. And I tell you, it's a wonder. It's a wonder. I've mentioned these little ones. It's a wonder. But I want to tell you, a couple years ago, it was a burden. What's going to happen to them? It's not that they weren't loved, but there was a need. What's going to happen to them? And I'm here to tell you, I'm not sure we made the right decision yet. But you all love them. Thank you. And that's a wonder of God. What wonders is he doing? Let it out. Our praise policy includes exhortation. Finally, our praise policy includes obedience. Obedience. Verse 13 through 16 talks about doing what our policy says. Look at verse 13. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. You know something? The God of Israel is the God for all people. The God of Israel. That one tiny little speck on the globe. And he's the God for all people. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Allah. None of them, by the way, exist. Did you know that? They have no power, but the God of Israel has power. He exists and lives today. He is for all people, the Bible says, on the earth. And the God of Israel is the God for all times. Look at verse 15. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Wow. Wow. I don't know how long the Lord's going to wait to come back, but however long it is, he still can be God to that generation too. He still can carry on through the little ones we have as we did as those before us passed away. Our praise policy, it must include obedience. Can I ask you this question? Are you making known the deeds of the Lord? Because he's done a lot for us. He's done a lot for you and me. I heard this poem some years ago, and I may have even shared it in the times past, but I'll share it again as we close. Today upon a bus I saw a lovely girl with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so happy. I wished I were as fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch. But as she passed, she smiled. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet and the world is mine. I later stopped to buy some sweets. The lad who served me had such charm. To visit a while would do no harm. When I turned to leave, he said, it's nice to talk to folks like you. Kindness is hard to find. Most pass by without me knowing. For you see, he said, I'm blind. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes, and the world is mine. On the way home, I walked down the street and saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he didn't know what to do. I said, why don't you join the others, dear? But he looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he couldn't hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears, and the world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know. Thank you, Lord, for I'm blessed indeed. Would you make known the deeds of the Lord? Heavenly Father, oh, there's not enough time today to truly thank you for everything. But Lord, we want to thank you for this passage. And I pray it would speak to the heart right now. If there's a need to know Christ as Savior, I pray, God, this would be the day, this would be the time that the individual sees. They can call on you right now. No waiting. And as a believer, Lord, I pray, help us, Lord, to respond to you. You in turn said you will respond to us in our offering and sacrifice, in our thankfulness, and dear Lord, in our praise to you. I pray, Father, you would make these part of this great week and start right now. heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask if you're able, would you stand with me, please? In just a moment, with heads still bowed and eyes still closed, I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song we're going to sing. As she plays that softly, I wonder, maybe the Lord's speaking to us. Maybe he's moving us to respond. Would you? If you need Jesus as Savior, I'm going to step down in just a moment. I'll have my Bible. Would you allow me to go through God's Word with you and let you see the new life that's waiting for you? And Christian friend, God's burdened our heart. Let's do something about it. Let's start right here, right now with him. Let him have his way this week. Start it out the right way. If he's speaking to you about something specific, would you respond as she begins to play?